Hello. Assalamualaikum. Welcome back. It's episode 2 of the Cafe Academia show. Apa kabar? How are you? Hey, remember this track? A cute one, right? Let's talk about dead knowledge today, folks. Yes, you heard me right. Dead knowledge. I once read a wonderful piece of writing entitled The Aims of Education and Other Essays. This was written in 1929. It's almost 100 years back. A timeless magnum opus by the famous philosopher Alfred North Whitehead. In his beautifully scripted essays, Whitehead protested against dead knowledge, the transfer of inert knowledge that must be avoided at all costs. For Whitehead, the issue is how knowledge is used, and specifically the time and place within it is contextualized. He states that the mind is never passive, it is a perpetual activity. Delicate, receptive, responsive to stimulus. You cannot postpone its life until after you have sharpened it. Whatever interest attaches to your subject matter must be evoked here and now. Whatever powers you are strengthening in the pupil must be exercised here and now. Whatever possibilities of mental life your teaching should impart must be elicited here and now. That is the golden rule of education and a very difficult one to follow. Here and now, the phrase really captured my attention, yet the final sentence summed it all. Yes, indeed, it seems a very difficult rule to follow. I am educator myself, and at times, well, most of the times, it frustrates me to still see many educators like me engulfed in dead knowledge. You heard me right, that's dead knowledge. What a scary and horrible phrase it sounds. Yet, as horrible and scary it sounds, believe me, I have encountered many episodes of inert knowledge transfer myself. A myriad of episodes beginning from my school years up till my MBA classes. Yes, surprisingly, MBA classes too. Then again, nothing's perfect, right? To Whitehead, the role of education is to preserve the connection between knowledge and the zest of life. The ultimate aim of education should be the development within students and urge towards new creative adventure. He cautions against knowledge presented as mere scraps of information. Thus, the transfer of inert knowledge must be avoided at all costs. Now, what is required is a focus on a few large ideas that, when taken together, form principles from which one may eventually and usefully generalize. Whitehead states that the role of the educator is to elicit energy and excitement by the resonance of his or her personality to ensure that the learning environment does not dwell on and shifts from one mass of inert ideas to another, but rather maintains a focus on the underlying principles from which future generalization is possible. For Whitehead, the sure path towards the development of wisdom is marked by considerable freedom. Now, Whitehead states that we should not teach too many subject areas, but what we teach, we should teach it thoroughly. Let the main ideas which are introduced into a pupil's education be few and important, and let them be thrown into every combination as possible. This process should represent a process of discovery that the general ideas give an understanding to that stream of events which pour through his or her life. Whitehead stressed that there are two essential elements in education: freedom and discipline. The only avenue towards wisdom is by freedom in the presence of knowledge, but the only avenue towards knowledge is by discipline in the acquirement of ordered fact. Thus, education is seen as a process beginning and ending with freedom, with discipline overriding the presence of freedom during the intermediate stage. He elaborates that students must be free to see and act for themselves to make sense of theory and practice. This is followed by the precision stage, a time of inescapable fact that there are right ways and wrong ways and definite truths to be known. Next, Whitehead states that the challenge is to determine what balance of discipline and freedom will support the greatest rate of progress. Discipline is present in the scheduling of required tasks and in the form of self-discipline. The aim of this stage is to ensure a focus and concentration on relevant facts and not to introduce irrelevant material that may serve only to distract students. The final stage is that of generalization, to demonstrate the newly acquired wisdom in its relevant context. Relevant wisdom reveals itself through the acquirement of principles derived from specific knowledge, the details of which manifest in one's subconscious habits. In short, our classroom environment should be a learning, not teaching space. Philosophy contributes to professionalism. Having a philosophic orientation separates the professional continuing educator from the paraprofessional in that the professionals are aware of what they are doing and why they are doing it. Remember the dead knowledge discussed earlier? Now, I realize how important it is to all educators to truly comprehend this phrase, here and now, what we are doing and why we are doing it. Whitehead further states that the machinery of our secondary education is rigid where it should be yielding and lax where it should be rigid. Every school is bound on pain of extinction to train its boys and girls for a small set of definite examinations. No headmaster has a free hand to develop his general education or his specialist studies in accordance with the opportunities of his school, which are created by its staff, its environment, its class of boys and girls, and its own endowments. I suggest that no system of external tests, which aims primarily at examining individual scholars, can result in anything but educational waste. I believe a lot can be learned by digesting Whitehead's essays. A lot can be achieved by studying the role of educators and education in our society as well. The aims of education was set decades ago, yet we are still seen, so it seems, dawdling through the path. Issues of ill-performing graduates still haunt employers. And what about ill-performing educators too? The issues of finding the perfect balance between a student's skills and capabilities, curricular activities, soft skills, etc., etc., and of getting countless A's is being discussed almost each year when results are out, plus many more issues which recur when the appropriate time comes. In his essays, Whitehead concludes, firstly, we enunciate two educational commandments. Do not teach too many subjects. And again, what you teach, teach thoroughly. Secondly, let the main ideas which are introduced into a child's education be few and important. Thirdly, there is only one subject matter for education, and that is life and in all its manifestations. The university's objective is to not make skillful lawyers, physicians, or engineers, but capable and cultivated human beings. Wherever there is a right way or wrong, there must be a difference between them, and it must be possible to find out what the difference is. And when found out and expressed in words, it is a rule for the operation. And lastly, Whitehead concluded, in 1929, you and your like are the hope and resource of your country in the coming generation. All great things which that generation is destined to have to be done, some like you. That's all for our episode today, folks. And let us protest against dead knowledge and do our best. See you in our third episode, inshallah. Bye. Assalamualaikum. Goodbye.